It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Live Golf is on life support. Even the most stubborn owners of a failing business eventually must face the facts that their business may never become profitable. Live Golf is owned by Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, the PIF. The oil-rich nation's investment conglomerate is worth more than $1 trillion. It holds a variety of assets which are generally expected to deliver a reasonable rate of return for the fund. To date, Live Golf has run through an estimated $5 billion worth of Saudi PIF funds during its 4 years of operation. The sports media, chasing rumor after rumor these days, pounced on a story this week that the Saudi Public Investment Fund may soon be ending their support for Live Golf. How soon? Nobody knows. That hasn't stopped the anti-Live Golf crowd, though, from generating the headlines about a looming closure of the league. Live Golf president Scott O'Neill emerged on Thursday prior to the opening round of the Tour's event in Mexico City to say that the league is fully funded through the month of August 2026 with the season-ending events. When he was asked, "What about next year?" no comment. At some point, every business needs to be able to stand on its own. The Saudi group was initially excited and rather proud to begin a worldwide professional golf operation. It hoped to be able to rival the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, which is the former Europeans. Losing $1 billion per year may only be 1% of the Saudi Public Investment Fund assets, but there's no question that the Saudis' investment in Live Golf has become a giant money pit with no end in sight. So how did we get here? In early 2022, the Saudi Public Investment Fund hired golfing legend Greg Norman to put together a new worldwide golf league. Norman dangled plenty of bonus signing money, well over $100 million in several cases, to lure some of the PGA Tour's biggest stars to jump leagues that spring. At least $1 billion would eventually be paid just to have these players under contract for 3 to 4 years, depending on each player's negotiated deal. The new Live Golf League initially offered tournament purses of $25 million, up to $30 million now, to a field of just 54 or so players. Now, that was nearly three times the average $8 million payout being offered by the U.S.-based PGA Tour at the time. Each Live event initially featured a 54-hole competition. And a reminder, LIV for Live Golf is the number 54 in Roman numerals. In addition to the individual titles, Live golfers also participate on a season-long four-man golf team. Each tournament pays an extra $5 million to the three teams which post the lowest total scores for the week. It appeared that the money seemed to be no object to the Saudi Public Investment Fund. Each year has seen insufficient revenues to cover some massive losses. Live Golf plays more than half of its events outside the United States, and that presents its own big problem in trying to attract a U.S. television audience. A tournament in Singapore or Australia or South Africa is going to be played at a time zone which makes live coverage in the United States very unattractive to home viewers. Who's going to stay up and watch golf on TV during the overnight hours? Live Golf's actual on-air television coverage itself, which I do find more interesting than many PGA Tour events, has been hampered by poor distribution of their events. The year 2025 brought the current TV deal with Fox Sports. Hey, that sounds better. But finding Live Golf on Fox television from day to day on one of the several different Fox outlets is akin to playing whack-a-mole. It's very confusing and almost as if Fox is intentionally trying to bury its own golf coverage. You can go to my website at SwampSwamiSports.com and check out a link showing you that coverage. In summary, the Saudi Public Investment Fund spent about $1 billion just for signing bonuses for Live Golf's players. And then the tour itself has lost about $1 billion a year on bloated tournament purses and oversized operating expenses. And the TV audiences have actually been shrinking, primarily due to the lousy TV placement, instead of growing. The trends are not the friends of Live Golf. Albert Einstein once said, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." That definitely applies to the owners of LIV Golf as season number 5 nears the halfway point right now. The media pounced on information which surfaced this week that LIV Golf is likely toast, perhaps even before the end of this season in late August. And the usual suspects who don't like LIV Golf, like Brandel Shamley at Golf Channel, have reacted with an I told you so glee. But not me. I fully admit to have been rooting for LIV Golf to find its own niche in professional golf somehow. Remember the old American Basketball Association, the ABA? My youthful self back in the 1970s was a big supporter of the American Basketball Association. Heck, I still shoot hoops with my ABA red, white, and blue basketball today. The ABA's innovative three-point shot helped to make the basketball league unique and more fun. The league also placed an emphasis on higher scoring contests in contrast to the NBA's more deliberate playing style of the 1970s. And the ABA placed franchises into growing markets like Denver, San Antonio, Indianapolis, Salt Lake City, and Louisville. And yes, there were some significant franchise failures in the ABA. The league was woefully undercapitalized and lost millions trying to play in some of the weaker markets. ABA franchises, though, outbid the NBA for the services of some exceptional players, like future Hall of Famers Julius Dr. J. Irving, Moses Malone, Rick Barry, Dan Issel, and David Thompson. The league also attracted a younger audience to the games and on television to watch the league's higher scoring and entertaining contest. In 1976, 4 ABA teams in Denver, San Antonio, Indianapolis, and the Virginia Squires turned New Jersey New York Nets all joined the NBA. In 1979, 3 years later, Salt Lake City snagged the former Jazz away from New Orleans and brought them to Utah. Some basketball fans laughed at the ABA's basketball itself, and traditionalists made fun of the ABA's three-point line. But years later, the NBA was the one that added 4 key ABA franchises along with the league's three-point shot. And the ABA helped to shape today's NBA. Likewise, PGA Tour golfers have benefited from the presence of LIV Golf the past few years. LIV Golf started to poach golfers away from the PGA Tour back in 2022. Almost immediately, though, the PGA Tour began to raise its own tournament purses in order to keep the remaining stars from contemplating their own exit. LIV Golf has a limited field of 54 or so golfers in a no-cut weekly event. Now, that ensures that every player receives a minimum paycheck for their weekly efforts. By contrast, most of the PGA Tour events begin with a field of 144 to 156 golfers. Half of those go home as the field is cut after the opening 36 holes, and those who are sent home leave without earning a dime for their troubles for that week. Taking a cue from LIV Golf's star-laden but smaller tournament fields, the PGA Tour recently began several no-cut tournaments a few years ago featuring only the highest-ranked 70 golfers. Now, that type of event may never have occurred without LIV Golf's competitive presence. And some media critics have laughed at LIV Golf's 4-man team competitions within each tournament. Perhaps the media might want to take note of the TGL, that's Tomorrow's Golf League, which recently concluded its second year of indoor golf competitions. This rather popular weekly made-for-television golf series features 4-man teams comprised of top PGA stars. Higher purses, smaller no-cut fields, and team competitions, none of those were on the scene for PGA golfers prior to LIV Golf's entry in 2022. So the truth, LIV Golf has been a big flop in the United States. Competing in the U.S. against the established PGA Tour has been tougher than expected for LIV Golf. Few of the top U.S. golf courses have been willing to commit to months of course preparation and the financial obligations required to host a top-level men's golf tournament. Several LIV Golf events in America have come and gone since 2022. Cities like Houston, Dallas, Miami, Tulsa, and Chicago have hosted a LIV Golf tournament in previous years, but not so in 2026. This year's remaining LIV Golf schedule brings the tour to several U.S. markets. LIV will play in Northern Virginia and the D.C. metro area in May, in New Orleans from June 25th to 28th, New Jersey and the New York City metro area in early August, and in Indianapolis in late August. And then the LIV team golf competition finale is set for Detroit on August 27th through the 30th. Now, Louisiana's governor, Jeff Landry, and his economic development team have invested $5 million worth of state taxpayer dollars to pay LIV Golf to play their June 25th through 28th event at the newly renovated Bayou Oaks Golf Course at City Park, formerly known as City Park South. An additional $2 million is being spent right now to prepare this venerable old public golf course for the upcoming LIV Golf Tournament in June. Now, Pinocchio might even chuckle knowing that the Pelican State officials are claiming that the LIV Golf New Orleans event is going to inject $40 million into the local economy in late June. As a former resident of the New Orleans area, there is a good reason why hotels are readily available and cheaper during the summertime there. It's exceptionally hot and steamy in the Crescent City by late June. Those conditions may be miserable for the golf fans and the players this year. But regardless, the state of Louisiana is now holding its breath that LIV Golf will not shut down its operations prior to playing the inaugural New Orleans tournament coming up in 2 months. But around the world, LIV Golf has been more successful. There have been sold-out LIV Golf tournaments in Australia and South Africa this spring, and that's brought the top group of stars to some golf-starved countries. Fans have openly welcomed the LIV Golf stars and seem to have enjoyed the league's party-like atmosphere. LIV Golf's 2026 schedule has taken the golfers to Saudi Arabia, of course, and then to Hong Kong, Singapore, and then this week, Mexico. Upcoming overseas events for LIV are scheduled for South Korea in late May, Spain in early June, and the United Kingdom in mid-July. The cost of taking the LIV Golf traveling show via jet to tournaments around the globe is staggering. The PGA Tour in the U.S. usually schedules within a one-day driving distance from one tournament to the next, and that reduces transportation costs for the broadcast trucks and the crews and players. But the clock right now is ticking for LIV Golf. Let's give LIV Golf a mulligan for their first 2 years of operation. But since then, the losses have continued to be unsustainable. And by any reasonable measure, LIV Golf should cut its losses and end its operations by the end of the 2026 season coming up in late August. Perhaps the Saudi Public Investment Fund might want to forge a partnership with the DP World Tour and bring men's golf to the worldwide locations where LIV Golf has performed very well. But the top names in LIV Golf have been paid multi-million dollar signing bonuses. They're going to be A-OK. The remaining talented golfers at LIV will be able to find another place to play golf professionally soon enough. Just like professional basketball's ABA did for the stalwart NBA, LIV Golf has made a lasting impact on professional golf and the PGA Tour. I'm Swamp Swami.